It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding an old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, a sad day. Oh. Did I miss a meeting?
Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Chuck Mangione. But also, what I meant was my notebook is, look at this. I mean, yeah. Is this what they mean when they say barely hanging on? I think if I do this anymore, it's just going to rip right off.
You're in real trouble there. Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to turn your neck this way. You shouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But we'll make it.
Well, I mean, the cover can come off. I mean, you can.
The cover can come off.
You could
take it off.
You could, you could still get by.
We will try.
Hopefully you can persevere.
So the first thing I think I saw in the world today was the Justin Fields injury. I was in here when it turned 2 o'clock, and I don't know if I was watching ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPN whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the volume down, thank God. And they were talking about like breaking news, Fields, apparent leg injury, all of this. And I'm like, we've already gotten the update on this, like that it's a dislocated toe and it's not serious.
Right.
So what's going on? And I figured I was probably watching a tape.
Yeah.
I did turn the volume up because I kind of couldn't believe that they were still talking like this at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because when did it happen? Maybe 9:30 or something like that?
Yeah, it was pretty early in the day. Yeah.
You know. I mean, ESPN just reruns its panel shows, I guess.
Yeah.
But I did turn the volume up, and like 7 times in the first 2 minutes, one of the different people said they were praying for him.
Okay.
So at that point, I thought, there's no way these people know the latest on this. Like, there's no way they are aware that it's a dislocated toe.
They're talking like they're worried he might have torn an Achilles or something. That's what that sounds like. I don't think. I mean, look, I'm not here to tell people what they should and should not pray for, but I feel like a dislocated toe.
Has anybody ever prayed for someone because of a toe injury?
Not. It seems like a bit much.
I agree. That's a lot much. So then I muted it and just decided this was probably recorded. And
then I got here and turned golf on.
And then you got here and turned golf on. That's right. That's right. But it reminded me, and we also have a defensive player on the Dolphins who's out for the year today. They're running well. It reminded me just to bring up the AFC East again. I did this a couple of times last week and with guests because I want to still try to gauge this. The extent to which we're just assuming the Bills will run through the AFC East again. Like, are we at any risk of being overconfident about that? Bet Online today put out odds on every team's number of wins within the division. How many games does each team win in their own division? And the Bills' number was, want to guess? This is a betting site. It's the highest in the league.
The Bills' number is 5.5.
4.5.
Okay.
Would you take 5? You would.
Sure. Yeah.
Would you take 4? You wouldn't.
No, I don't think so.
Right. 4.5. How many games do the Bills win against the Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets? I mean, 5-1. What would most fans predict they would do in the division? 5-1? 6-0 or 5-1? 4-2 seems bad.
I think 5-1 would be most reasonable fans' guess, just because it's football and it's division games, and you know you're going to lose one of those games on the road to somebody. One of the three teams. Even though I think objectively you don't think any of them are a real threat, it's still there's close games all the time.
Plus week 18.
Right.
Like last year.
Right.
That was a division loss because Allen sat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they win
right
handily if he plays.
Yep. I should have taken that into account before I rushed the 5.5 answer.
So 4.5. So Justin Fields, maybe he's okay. Do we care?
I don't. I mean, I'm mildly intrigued to see if he can do the things he hasn't done well better than he has. Because I've never had any issue with the guy's talent. I haven't believed that he can do the job the way it needs to be done. I don't think he processes fast enough, and that is the real problem in that, with that position. I think lots of guys have shown up in the league with the ability, big arm, athlete, great runner, good runner, whatever, but just don't see it, don't feel it, and that's it. I mean, it's fractions of seconds we're talking about. You need to be able to know what you're doing and understand what they're trying to even trick you into or whatever that is. But if you can't diagnose just split second, you're in real trouble. And I said, you know, there's always a chance that with more reps, the light will turn on, or that with a different coach, a different offense, maybe they can create more easy throws for him where it's obvious he should know where to go based on how things are lining up. And, you know, maybe he can improve. But it's been, what are we talking about? 3 years in Chicago, 1 year in Pittsburgh, right? Is that Fields' career so far?
It's 3 or 4, but yeah. It might be 4, but so, otherwise I think you're right.
It's a good amount of football to think that suddenly the light's going to go on. But, you know, the light can go on later.
It is 3.
For other, you know, for 4 players. So it's possible anyway. I wouldn't want to completely rule it out, but I'm not optimistic. Like, I saw that news, and all I really thought about was your fantasy interest in Justin Fields.
Well, I'm flattered.
Not like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about the Jets now. Because, like, I don't know, I might tell you that Tyrod Taylor could nurse them to more wins than Justin Fields could if he had to play. So, I not at all.
Well, how many is that?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, is it 7 versus 5 or, you know, what? I don't think it's a difference-making, you know, number of games. So, yeah, I did not have the AFC East thought really at all when I saw the Fields news this morning.
I think that's probably almost everybody. And that's what I mean. Like, what news would happen in the division? Stephon Diggs, I mean, not a quarterback, but Stephon Diggs is healthy and on track, it seems, to play in week one. Does anybody care? Apart from fantasy or apart from whatever interest you might have in Stephon Diggs?
Well,
does it mean what in the division could happen, if anything, that would matter? That's kind of thing scares me.
Yeah.
You know, when it's so clear cut, it seems it's so like everybody's in the same bucket thinking that there's really no threat. I don't need to be talked into one,
right.
But it's just an uneasy feeling when in a league that's known for, even though it's really not that true, it's parity. When you've won 5 years in a row and you walk in and it's Justin Fields and Tua and Drake May and, you know, coaching changes, betting lines.
Right. You got 2 new coaches, one coach who a lot of people are predicting is like walking the plank here in Miami, McDaniel.
Feeling like you have nothing to be afraid of is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
I feel that. I do. And I think it is a lot to just assume you're going to have like that smooth a ride. I would tell you, like, knowing Diggs, seeing that Diggs is healthy, and we'll see what that means. Like, what a healthy Diggs recovered from a knee injury. Like, there's healthy to play and, you know, structurally sound, able to do everything that's required safely. But is he, you know, what level of Stephon Diggs is he, right? I mean, he's now 2 years older than he was when he left here, and we thought he was already in decline then, I think, right? So what does it really mean? Him being ready, though, the New England being the team. See, I'm very dismissive of the Jets and somewhat the same with Miami this year. I don't think they're the same teams, really. I mean, Miami's more of a threat than the Jets, but I'm not worried about them. New England with Vrabel and May is so talented. Like, Diggs being there right from the start got my attention. Because I think New England is the only team. Like, if the Bills stumble and New England's pretty good, then it could get interesting between those two teams. But it requires, I think, in my view, a Bills stumble. If the Bills are what most objective observers expect the Bills to be, I don't think Stephon Diggs healthy moves the meter enough to get New England really on your heels. But if the Bills are wobbly for some reason, whatever that could be, health chiefly, then, you know, maybe you could have a race there, and Diggs being there from the start, you know, could have some impact there.
Is this all to say you can't see New England or Miami or the Jets winning 12 games, but maybe you could see one of them winning 11?
Sure, or 10 even. Like, you
10
know,
would be your max?
If you're on a... I don't need to differentiate that strongly between 10 and 11.
We did the Patriots schedule, and 11 was not out of the range of outcomes.
So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about, is it a race? Is there a threat? And if you're on pace to win 10 games, you know, depending on when they come, then you could have, you know, a team in your rearview mirror the whole time. Unlike last year, where it just really didn't exist. I mean, the Bills coasted and clinched on December 1st. So I do think, 10, 11 would be the absolute max to me for a team like New England. I could see them winning 10 if everything goes right for them. They get one against the Bills, say, and the rest of the schedule is not that tough, especially to start, like you said, when we ran that down a few weeks back.
Super easy. If they're pretty good and a couple of these other teams are not, Raiders, Dolphins, Steelers, Panthers is their first four. Three at home. Like, that could be 4-0 if they're pretty good and Miami isn't and the Raiders aren't. That could be 4-0. Bills, Saints, Titans, Browns. What are they now? 7-1? I mean, possibly. Atlanta, Tampa, Jets. The best case here is it's there, like 9-2. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, Giants.
That's 10 wins already.
Bills, Ravens, Jets, Dolphins. A good team with that schedule could win 12 games.
Yep.
Without beating the Bills once.
Are they good, though, right?
Are they good?
is the question.
I think anything less than 9 would be bad for New England.
With that schedule.
I think they should... What would you aspire to? Like, you're hoping to make the playoffs. You want to feel like you've got that May is right and that Vrabel is right.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you had a losing record, you probably wouldn't feel that way. But if it does happen, those boxes are checked, then you're looking at very possibly a playoff team. I know I've already bet it, New England to make it, because that schedule is pretty much cake. 803-0550. Are we all a little bit too confident in the division? Maybe not. I always take my cues from the markets, and the markets think,
walk
relax.
In the park. Yeah.
Pretty much. But it's just not that kind of league. That's not the league I know. That's what's been one thing that's been so interesting about these last few years, is not just the Bills, but Kansas City and Baltimore and even Houston and their division also. Just like, it shouldn't be that consistent who the top teams are, but, we understand why. The quarterbacks mean so much to it. Houston's in a different category than Baltimore, but still, like, I guess it kind of makes sense. The Ravens also have, by the way, the same 4.5 over-under in their division than the Bills do. I could much more easily see Baltimore losing division games than the Bills.
Yeah, I think there are two teams in there, depending on what you think of Pittsburgh. I feel like there are two teams... Maybe Pittsburgh, I would view as maybe on a par with New England, right? I mean, 11 maybe for me would be their absolute ceiling. Could they win 9 or 10 again and squeeze in a wild card? Sure. I think Cincinnati, even with their flawed defense, is I would view them as more of a threat than any of the AFC East teams. So right there, Baltimore's got to me two games that are harder than any games the Bills have in the division. And then Pittsburgh is maybe at worst a push with New England. So, yeah, I agree with you. And you know, you always make this point about the the Pittsburgh-Baltimore games, you know, right? 18-16 or whatever the heck that score is, 16-15. Like, it's this low-scoring slugfest kind of game, and anybody can win that game if that's the kind of game you have. If you can hold Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore offense to under 20 points, you got a chance to beat them. Any team would have a chance to beat them. I mean, it's just not a lot of points. You got to get some yourself, of course. But so, yeah, I would agree. I think Baltimore, I don't know that I would bet for sure. If I were going to bet it, I would bet they're under.
The Bills don't have home division losses at all anymore. When was the last division loss at home? It might have been
the New England win game. Does it go that far back?
It could have been that, or if the Jets won here in a meaningless game at the end, that happened. But really, like, it's been years. The Browns won in Baltimore last season. I mean, they picked second overall, but they won. I mean, the Ravens last year lost at home to the Raiders and the Browns. So that was nice of them, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Elijah Moore, 8-for-85 in that Browns upset in Baltimore. Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to talk myself into one of these other teams, like giving the Bills a run. I could see it with the Patriots. I want to say I could even see it with the Dolphins because they've done that. Like, it's not as, I think, complete a roster as it was 2 years ago. They've had injuries and other stuff, but I mean, the offense can really cook when it's right. So in that kind of a season, Miami could be a little bit dangerous, but it's kind of hard to construct that. Like that the Bills are going to have to really work for the division title. And just this, none of this is anything they would ever say because it's when you get cocky. It's when you become vulnerable, Bulldog. I learned this from you. When you get too cocky, when you're too sure,
I taught you something
of yourself, that's when you have to watch out.
21, that New England win game is the last divisional home loss for the Bills. I just ran through.
What a fluke!
Last few years,
you're right? That was too
right.
So that means
now I want to maybe go back from there even and see before that what was.
So they've won at least 9 straight at home in the division, 3 years in a row undefeated. That would be 21. You said
yep.
Here's Mike with us. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So you guys were talking about the New England schedule and whatnot. And I'm 53 years old. I've lived in Buffalo all my life, and I'm not a Bills fan. I'm actually a Saints fan, and that's a whole other story. But I think the big concern for the Bills would be not so much New England or the Jets catching them for the division. Are they good enough to ding them one of those games to hurt them for the one seed? Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest concern because the Bills are too good. I think there's such a gap there that I don't think the division's in jeopardy. But they get those one or two losses every year that cost them that one seed. And I think if New England's good enough, like you guys say, with that schedule, whatever, and they get some confidence, and they ding the Bills one of the games, or maybe the Jets do, it's that one seed. I think that's really the thing they got to watch out for.
Yep, makes sense. Thanks, Mike.
And that should be, I mean, is that not what everyone is, I don't know if the team is openly talking about it, but within the fan base, I mean, not that that's new. We've been talking about it ever since they got good, right? You want to get the one seed, want to get these guys at home, even though we know now that they've lost 2 home games to end their seasons in the playoffs pretty recently. It still is, the week off is more than even getting them at home. Like, you know, being at home is a bonus. Only having to play 2 games to get to the Super Bowl is the prize. And as we've seen, you know, I've made the point numerous times. 2 years ago, having to go hard in Week 18 and then play the Steelers, they suffered very damaging injuries in those 2 games that hurt them when they ended up losing to the Chiefs. So the week off is just so big. I mean, holy cow. If you can even get to what the Chiefs had last year, which was, you know, coast in Week 18 too, and then you get the bye, I mean, holy cow. I would... There's a lot I would give to be sitting in here
Let's go.
In late December or early January arguing about whether or not they're going to like lose their edge or something because they're taking 2 weeks off because they have that luxury. They have such a good record. They've got the one clinch, so they're sitting down week 18, and then we're sitting, of course, out wild card weekend, so you're not playing for 3 weeks. Like, oh, I'm worried they're going to lose all their momentum. I would love to be arguing about that around Christmas time.
Last year was almost this, but the race with Kansas City was enough to keep it going. It could have been this last year. And if you didn't have quite, if there was a bigger gap between the Chiefs and the Bills and somehow they had still clinched first place, we would have had those conversations. Like it almost mm-hmm. was that. But always being one game away ended up being futile, but kept that race for the one seed alive. How did the Jets let somebody step on Justin Fields' foot, by the way? You get cut here if that happened. How does that happen? I don't think I've seen any video of
no,
it. I don't know of any video.
I haven't
of it.
Either. I really expected pretty soon after I first saw that it had happened that there would be, you know, multiple tweets in my feed, but I never saw any of it. I'm assuming nobody saw it.
Well, let's continue to pray for him.
You can. I'll sit that one
like
out.
ESPN was praying yeah. for Justin Fields. Carted off. I was. You asked me like, were you freaked out? Carted off is that's, you know how that
right.
reads, but no, I wasn't. I was upset. I mean, I was worried,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I still am a little bit because I don't know what happened to Curtis Samuel. In August,
that's
and then
right.
it was
that's
February.
Right.
He's like, oh, well, he had a lost year.
Right.
Okay. I mean, maybe he didn't have a dislocated toe. Also, it's a non-big toe.
That's right. I did hear that. Yeah.
How does it even happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking at my toes right now.
Trying to figure out how that.
Somebody steps on your foot and, like, one of them just sort of pops out. I mean, it's probably painful.
Yeah.
They just pop it back in like a shoulder?
Yeah. Good question. I don't know how that works.
Pop the toe back in? Maybe instead you'd sort of just wrap it up, splint or something, just wrap it up and separate it from the other toes. If it's like the middle toe or something, who knows?
I don't know how that works. All I know is that I broke the index toe. Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what I wanted to call it, index toe.
The long toe.
When I was maybe 20 years old, and it's still. Disfigured is maybe strong, but it looks very different than the same toe on my other foot.
Really?
Yeah. This is kind of just looks it just looks weird. I don't know. It's like lumpy in a spot.
But it doesn't hurt.
I want to stop. No, not at all.
40 years later.
I want to stop talking about my feet.
It doesn't. We all do. We all want you to stop talking about your feet.
It's real. I mean, I don't mind talking about my feet. It's more for all of you.
We will talk about the Colts today with Kevin Bowen out of Indianapolis. Sal will join us too. Hulk Hogan dies. What a week. Chuck Mangione. My friend says that's how you say it, Mangione. I always thought it was Mangione. He's like, everybody says it wrong.
Okay.
But Chuck Mangione. Also, I've got trivia for you maybe next.
Oh, my.
And a mystery guest announcement. Bulldog does not know. Please don't tell him if you're the one... two people who would know who this is that I've been working with that this particular I'm very excited about an upcoming guest. Mystery guest is only that Bulldog doesn't know who it is. So we will break it to him today as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. If you have a thought on the AFC East, how it's lining up, we'll be right back. This is WGR.